Well, dear friends, what a happy morning this is. I'm just thrilled with the announcements that have been made today. And we do want to say again to Graham and Marilyn, God bless you. You saw all those pictures. Think of the hundreds of lives that this couple has touched for the Lord Jesus, with making disciples for Jesus Christ. A while ago, Marilyn came into my office here with a whole bunch of precious kindergartners. We just sat there with them and just had a wonderful chat, and they were so well behaved, and there was such a sense in their lives of purpose and connectedness with the Lord Jesus. Isn't it wonderful to see our children having this amazing impact? And God bless Temple Baptist Academy. We're so grateful for all the teachers and all the staff that are involved in making this ministry possible. And then I was just so thrilled to hear this wonderful news that Pastor Jonathan Stairs will have at his side his dear dad, Pastor Philip Stairs, to stand with you in ministry here in the future. Are you looking forward to that? I could tell you were. And it reminded me of the same privilege that I had at Benton Street Baptist Church when I was pastoring there. And then in 1985, we brought my pastor dad from Michigan with my mom to live with us in our home and to be involved with us in our ministry. And for about 16 years, Dad continued to serve the Lord, even though he was 80, till he was 96. And what a wonderful privilege to team in ministry. This is a God-blessed congregation. Let's give thanks. Father, how good you are to us. We give you praise for what you are doing here at Temple. And now open our hearts to your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to take your Bibles once again and let us turn to the book of Romans and chapter 12. Our text this morning comes from one portion of a little verse, Romans 12, verse 12. And the phrase that I want us to see is this one, continuing steadfastly in prayer, as it says in the New King James Version, or devoted to prayer, as it says in the New American Standard Bible. If you have the good old King James Version in your hand, here's what it says, continuing instant in prayer. Now, that's a word we don't quite use maybe as much now, but it just means all the time being active in the prayer life. Another translation says faithful in prayer. So we're going to be thinking this morning about this theme, Christ's Lordship of my prayer life. But before we do that, I want you to see that phrase in the context of the verses that surround it. And so I'm going to invite you once again to stand with me as we reverently and joyfully read God's practical word, beginning with Romans 12 and verse 9. And I'm reading from the New King James Version, which says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Thank God for his word. Friends, you may be seated, and I want you to think with me now about this great theme of prayer. Can I ask you a personal question? Do you remember over this past week, these last 7 days, when did you pray? I hope you can think of several times. I hope it's still your pattern as followers of Jesus Christ when you are sitting down at a meal to unashamedly say, "Thank you, Lord, for blessing me with this food." Even maybe when you're in a restaurant and it's a winsome testimony that you have a grateful heart and that you recognize that all gifts come from above. I wonder how you started each day this past week. Did you begin recognizing God's on the throne? I'm his redeemed one because I've received him by faith, and I want to talk to him. I want to ask a question. How many of you carry an iPod or a cell phone? Fess up. Not just the young ones, older ones too. How many times did you use that this past week? Trying to connect with people. And it's a wonderful tool, isn't it? But now let's go back to that first question. When did you this last week talk to your Heavenly Father? And you don't even have to have an iPad or an iPod, a cell phone. You don't need it. And you can text him without even having to punch it in. And you can just breathe a prayer. "Thank you, Lord." Or, "I love you, Lord." Or, "How good you are to me today." Or, "Oh God, I need wisdom right now." And so many prayers that can just be immediately shot up to heaven. And I hope you do that even oftener than you use your cell phone. I want you to think with me about this. This matter of our relationship with the Lord is a love relationship. I hope you have him at least on your My Five. And I hope that he is one who is so close to you in your relationship with the Lord Jesus that you delight to talk with him continually, in fact. In fact, the Bible tells us, pray without ceasing. Boy, how do you do that? Well, it just means that your phone is on all the time, and any moment you can just, "Lord," and you talk to him about anything and everything. Now, this is something we need to get into the habit of doing. And what I'm seeking to encourage you in right now is to think this way. Yes, I have connection with all these friends, but he is my best friend. And I want to keep nurturing that friendship by continually being in communion with him. One of the tough things that I had to do as a pastor one time, I got a phone call. It was from a man whose wife attended our church. He didn't. They'd been married for 50 years. And I discovered that he and she had not talked to each other for 20 years, even though they lived in the same house. They decided each to have their own bedrooms, but they each bought their own groceries, put them in the same refrigerator, and they each cooked their own meals at different times on the same stove. And they didn't even talk to each other when they passed each other in the hallway in their home. The only way they communicated, if there was something they had to say, was to write it on a note and stick it on the refrigerator. This woman was very heartbroken after 50 years of marriage, and her husband now wants to have a divorce and marry somebody else. And they asked me to come to their home and help them decide which pieces of furniture each one was going to get. I hope I never have to do that again. The point I want to make is this. Officially, they were in union. There was a piece of paper that was a marriage certificate that said they were married. They were in union officially, but they were not in communion. How sad it is when a person who says, I've received Jesus as my Savior, I'm His child, but, and there's officially a union there, so-called, but there's no or little communion. How sad. I want you to see this matter of being a Christian as more than a business relationship. It's a love affair. And out of love, we desire to be in connection with our Heavenly Father who loves us so supremely, with our Savior, the Lord Jesus, who gave His life on the cross for us, with the Holy Spirit who's come to indwell the believer, to guide us, to empower us, to comfort us, to direct us. Oh, how blessed we are, aren't we? And this verse that the Apostle Paul says in Romans 12:12, he says to us, I want you to continue steadfastly, fervently, urgently, lovingly, faithfully in prayer. Now, when you think about prayer, you think about maybe asking, Lord, I need this, I need that, I want this, do this. Now, that is part of what prayer can be. There are several words in the Greek New Testament that are used that we translate as prayer. One of those words means to ask or to entreat or to supplicate, oh, please give me. Another word that's used has to do with intercede, to intercede for, to pray for other people. But the word that is used here, prosuche, is a general word for prayer, which means to just being in connection with the Lord, covering all kinds of things, whether it be thanksgiving or requests or whatever it might be. And that's the word that's being used here. And I want you to see with me that, can you imagine, I should tell you this, I heard some time ago about some monks in a monastery, and their greeting to each other as they would pass each other in the hallway was, we must all die. Now, how would you like that? Don't do that this morning, but we must all die. But the reason they were doing that was to recognize our mortality. There's coming a day that we've got to give account for this day, and so let's be ready. I would prefer a different route than just saying, we must all die. But another group of monks who had this phrase that they used every time they met each other, do I meet you praying? I like that. Do I meet you praying? And immediately that causes the mind to think of, not only are we connected as friends, but are we connected this way with our Heavenly Father? I want you to think with me about several things this morning. First of all, prayer is the transforming friendship. There is a book on prayer by Dr. Houston that I have, and the title of the book is The Transforming Friendship. And it's a book all about prayer. You see, as you pray, and as you recognize I'm talking to the Creator of the universe and the Redeemer of my soul, this amazing God, what a privilege to talk to Him. You've maybe been watching this week some of the things about the 60th anniversary of our beloved Queen. Anybody seen anything about that this week? A number of you have. And Adrian and I, a while ago, were in London, and we stood at Buckingham Palace, and we watched the changing of the guard and all of that, but the Queen didn't invite us in. We'd come all the way from Canada and still didn't get it. But God, the creator of the universe, invites us in to fellowship with him. And what a privilege this is. What a friendship God desires with us. Did you know that Jesus said to his disciples, you'll read this in John chapter 15 and verse 15, where it says, Jesus is talking to his disciples just before he's going to the cross the next day. And he says to them, I don't call you servants. I call you friends. For everything that the Father's made known unto me, I'm sharing with you. You're on the inner circle. We're friends. And prayer is the way that we can connect into this wonderful friendship, actually speaking with the Lord. And you don't have to use your lips even to say it. You can just think a prayer, and God sees it. He knows it. He knows your heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart, and God knows our hearts. And I hope as I'm chatting with you this morning, you're beginning to get a fresh sense of warmth about this friendship that Jesus invites us into. And the way we nurture that friendship is through prayer, talking with him, expressing our hearts to him, recognizing he knows everything about us, and we can't be hypocrites with God. He knows the facts. But we can share our hearts and develop this warm and abounding friendship. And the privilege of prayer gives us immediate access right into the very throne room of God. You see, praying is communion, it's fellowship, abiding in God, remaining in Christ, just as the whole of John 15 talks about when Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. I was looking at my vine, my grapevine yesterday, out in my backyard, and checking it out to see how those branches are doing and how they're coming along, and I'm hoping that we'll have another crop of nice grapes this fall. But those branches don't do any good if they're not connected to the vine. And prayer nurtures that connectedness and keeps it alive and active in such a way that we are able to grow and develop into becoming everything God wants us to be as people and to be fruitful in every good work, as the Bible says. Jesus said, if you're connected properly and abiding in me, remaining in the vine, then you're going to bear much fruit. And so this prayer life that God's invited us into, to be praying continually, is something that nurtures us and transforms us. It actually changes people's lives. It changes them for the better. It helps us to find our total fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to think about this with me. Prayer is keeping company with God. Do you like to hang out with folks that are special friends? May I say this reverently? God wants you to hang out with him. You get the point? Just be comfortable in his presence because you know that he's taken care of the sin problem. Now, if sin were not canceled and taken care of in our lives, we could not be comfortable in his presence. But he invites us in now to this warm friendship, this transforming friendship that changes our lives, and prayer is what nurtures that. There's a second thing I want you to think about, and that is this. Prayer is to be continual all the time, steadfast in prayer. Live coram Deo before the Lord. Somebody said, what does that mean? Coram Deo. That means before the face of God. Can you imagine seeing the face of God? Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And one of these days, all of us who are going to heaven are going to see him in all of his glory. But by faith in prayer, we can see him, we can communicate with him, and what a wonderful privilege it is to just bask in his presence. Something like Peter and James and John with Jesus in that Mount of Transfiguration, where he gave those three disciples of his a brief but awesome view of the glory that is really his. And we're going to see that glory when we see Jesus face to face. But right now, you can celebrate it right in this very moment. And you can sense he's here. He's with me. I love him. He's up to something good in my life. Even though I've got some challenges, he's able to walk with me through all of those challenges. Prayer is to be continual. You have unlimited calling privileges. They are free. You don't have to go even to 911. If it's an emergency, you just call out to the Lord immediately, and you can be speaking with him and he with you. Oh, what a privilege that is. But I want you to think of something else with me. Prayer is also necessary for holy living. Holy living means to be living above the attractions of sin that would pull us downward. Holy living, to be holy, what does holy mean? Holy means to be separated from everything that will hurt you unto everything that's good for you. Does that sound bad? Some people don't like that idea of separation. That's a word that has fallen on hard times even among God's people, I'm afraid, these days, to live a separated Christian life. By that we mean to be removed from sin. Even though we walk in a sinful world, our hearts do not have to be infected by that sin. And God calls us to live holy in a dirty world. And the way to do that is to be in continual, conscious recognition of my relationship with my Heavenly Father. And I'm walking with him moment by moment, day by day. Did you know that every Christian in this room... Now, it's my hope that every one of you here, when I ask this question, are you a Christian? I hope you can say yes to that. It may be that some of us are here this morning and are still debating that, still weighing that issue, have not yet committed our hearts and lives to Christ. But many of you have, and I'm so glad you have. And if you have received Christ as Savior, did you know that the Bible calls you a saint? Now, I'm not talking about the New Orleans Saints football team. And by the way, they need some saints down there. But I am saying this. You are a saint. That means a sanctified one, a set apart one, and that means a holy one as far as God is concerned. From sin unto Christ. So I'd just like you to turn around. If you think the person next to you is a Christian, would you just say, hello, St. Henry, if you're sitting next to him. Just say it this way. God bless you. Would you say that, would you? And then say that to the person sitting next to you and say their name. Saint, whatever that is. Okay, here we go. God bless you, Saint. I heard it. And that wasn't just a little game we just did then. That is real. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad you know Jesus is your Savior? Aren't you glad he's called you from darkness into light? And it made all possible because of his death for you on the cross of Calvary. If that hadn't happened, then you'd still be in your sin. So would I. But because he died for us and paid the price of sin, that cancels sin when we accept his forgiveness. And if you've accepted his forgiveness, you are a saint set apart from sin unto Christ. So God has called you and me to holy living. And prayer, though, is necessary. You see, sainthood is, this is a position now that is ours before our Heavenly Father. But now we got to make sure we make it a practice in our lives. Not only positionally, but practically, I'm living a saintly life, honoring Christ in what I say, in what I think, in what I do. And so prayer is necessary for holy living. Being faithful in prayer will keep you faithful to God. And when you stop living in continual prayer fellowship with God, here's what's going to happen. Satan will try to fill the void. There will be a vacuum. And Satan's just ready to fill that vacuum. But if you just allow the Lord to keep filling your heart with himself, and you do that by continual prayer, fellowship with him, enjoying him, thanking him, praising him, and bringing all your requests to him. Oh, what a wonderful life that is. One other thing I want you to think about with me is this. Not only prayer is the transforming friendship, and prayer is to be continual, and prayer is necessary for holy living, but prayer includes fellowship with God's people. Now, it's true that every one of us should have our own private, personal prayer life that's active and strong and continual. But the Lord also wants us to have faithful, regular fellowship with God's people. You see, it's like a campfire. Just to picture it here, we won't set it alight because we don't want to burn the church down. I did hear of a fellow who, there was a church that was on fire. This fellow had never been to church, stood there and watched the fire. And a guy who went to church regularly said, good to see you finally come to church. Why haven't you come before? Well, he said, I've never seen the church on fire before. But the church should be on fire spiritually. I sense the flames burning in this place, don't you? God's up to something good at Temple. But you know, we need each other. And that's why in this church and every congregation, there is an encouragement for God's people to come together in regular fellowship for prayer. And during our months with you, it's been such a joy for Adrian and me to participate with you in various forms of prayer, such as before the evening service. Every evening service, there's a prayer meeting that we enjoy sharing with others, and you're invited too. There's room for more if you'd like to come at 45 minutes before the service begins. And then on Wednesday evenings, we meet, many people meet here in this room for prayer. Now, this coming Wednesday, we're going to have a special program here. It's going to be graduation for the school, for the academy, and you're all welcome to that, too. And then again, the next week and the following weeks, we will be meeting here at 7 o'clock for prayer. And I would encourage you to think about making that a priority in your life, if at all possible. I know that some of you have jobs that don't allow that and other things, but many of us could be here. And I would invite you to be here. Why? Because we need fellowship in prayer. Not only that, but it happens in many other circles, doesn't it? Just before the service began, a young woman, and I'm looking at her face right now, sitting in the back row, she came to me with a special prayer request about her sister who has special need. And so rather than saying, well, I'll pray about that, I said, let's pray right now. And I held her hand. And we just came to the Lord immediately, right there. And we had fellowship in prayer. And you can do that anytime. And I would encourage you to enjoy that fellowship in prayer. Now, I've got to quickly stop because we've got something more wonderful happening, and we're going to be celebrating the work that's happening with boys and girls in our discipleship program. But before we finish that, may I just list to you some practical ways that I can be faithful in prayer. First of all, daily time alone with God in His Word. I hope you'll make this a regular habit in your life, in reading God's Word. And as you read God's Word, one of the things I like to do is to pray in the Scriptures. You might like to write that down as well. Just tuck it in there underneath that point if you can. Pray in the Scriptures. I didn't put it on the screen, but I want you to think about that. Pray in the Scriptures. What do I mean by that? Well, just look at Romans chapter 12. Take verse 1, for instance. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. Lord, I want to thank you that you gave me a body. You see how the Scripture just triggers you to think about something, to talk to Him about? First of all, in praise and thanksgiving. Thank you for my body. And Lord, thank you also that you want to live in this body, and I invite you to be Lord of my body today. That's, we can just say that's praying in the Scriptures. You let that Bible verse trigger you to think about things to talk to the Lord about in praise and thanksgiving and also in request. Now, the second thing I'd like to suggest for you is daily family prayer. And I'm looking at a bunch of dads. Next week is Father's Day. Let's make today Father's Day as well. Dads, I hope that in your home you lead your wife and children in prayer and in the Word of God on a regular basis. And you may say, well, I don't know that I'm kind of embarrassed to do that. Well, get over it. Stop being embarrassed about talking to your children about God. My, this is the most wonderful thing. Take the Scriptures, read it, use it. You might like to use the tool, our daily bread, or one of those others, that, or something that's appropriate for the age level of your children. But every day, don't let your kids get through a day without saying, realizing their mom and dad love the Lord and are praying with them and for them. Another thing I'd like to suggest to you is pray regular prayer with God's people, as we talked about just a few moments ago. And another thing, continual open line of communion with God. Just make sure the line is open continually and you are enjoying continual prayer life. Oh, Father, make it true in our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.